Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Markets.
Coming up on Bloomberg Markets, we are broadcasting live from Carbonite's international headquarters in downtown Boston. They are celebrating their Investor Day, and we're going to talk a little bit about security breaches when it comes to the internet and your computer system. That's all coming up. But we're also going to get some news from Greg Jarrett. He's in the Bloomberg Newsroom with a Bloomberg Business Flash. Greg.
Thank you, Pim. Markets are mixed. The dollar's down. Treasuries, let me take a quick look at Treasuries before I speak. Yep, just a touch lower right after Donald Trump gave his speech to the United Nations and as the Fed begins its two-day meeting. Cole Smead, Smead Capital Management, tells Bloomberg the Fed is dealing with an economy that is just a bit tough to read.
We have a very imbalanced economy. We have male unemployment being a dominant factor in the Fed's conversations right now. The irony is we have housing data that argues we're at 50-year lows in housing still, which it's not a shock that housing stinks in the United States and males are out of work. Those are highly correlated to each other historically.
American Airlines, the world's largest carrier, will absolutely positively match discount fares at its major airport hubs, according to CEO Doug Parker. Big airlines like American, United, Continental, and Delta are competing against discounters with a new no-frills fare class called Basic Economy. American Airlines is now down 1.6%. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P 500 is up 0.1%, up 2. The Dow's up 0.1%, up 33. And the NASDAQ is little changed, up 3. The 10-year is down 2/32 with a yield of 2.23%. West Texas Intermediate is down 0.2%, at $49.80 a barrel, while COMEX Gold is up about 0.1%, 13.1170. The yen, $1.1155. The euro, $1.1969. And the pound, $1.3516. So Bloomberg Business Flash, Bloomberg Markets continues now with Lisa and Pim.
Thank you so much, Greg Jarrett. It is time now to focus on Equifax. This is a breach of potentially half of America's most personal data that is changing the conversation around how people secure their most important information. And here to talk more about that is Norman Guadagno. He's chief evangelist for Carbonite here, which is based in Boston. He joins us now. So, Norman, can you give us a sense of why Equifax and this hack that has possibly exposed, you know, millions, hundreds of millions of Americans' personal information like Social Security's number, how does this completely change the conversation?
Yeah, Lisa, it's a great question. And I think as you described it as a very significant, right, more than half potentially of American adults and probably the other half have been exposed at some point as well. They just don't know it. And I think it changes the conversation because it's an opportunity for citizens, consumers, to realize that the institutions that they trusted with their most personal data, in this case Equifax, may not have been so trustworthy after all and may not have been prepared for the sophistication of the malicious hackers who are out there trying to get data.
How much can you generalize here, and how much is this a uniquely horrible protection of information? I mean, this was the one job of Equifax, is to provide this information. I mean, you had one job, right? And it sort of, they fell down.
They had one job, they didn't do it.
Wait, is this endemic?
I think the way to think about it is every business is a target of malicious hackers. Every business has data. Some businesses have realized the value of that data and how to protect it. Some businesses have not realized the value of that data, and some businesses have failed to realize the sophistication of the criminal element out there that's trying to get that data. So is this a one-time deal where they failed at their job? Yes, they failed at their job not only to protect it, but then to communicate effectively after the fact. But we're going to see more and more of this, and we're going to reach a point where consumers are going to have to rethink the relationship they have with their own data and where the data lives and who's keeping it. Because frankly, most of us, if not all of us, don't even realize where and who has all this data about us until there's an incident like this. And then we wake up with the uh-oh, and then everyone goes into a panic.
Well, Noren, I want you to follow up on this, because this idea that it's consumers, but it's also businesses that need to wake up to this, but that they do not have control over their data. What kind of maybe you could bring in the concept for the redundancy of the data and how you can secure it without putting it into this precarious situation.
Yeah, Pim, it is a big issue for businesses, because every business today is essentially a data business. Right? Regardless of what a business does, it's collecting and creating all sorts of data. And it is hacked. Right.
And has been hacked. I mean, in the past tense, whether you know it or not, you have been hacked. Someone has all your info somewhere.
That's right. We always like to say, everyone's been hacked, you just may not know it yet. And
happy Tuesday.
There you go. Happy Tuesday. And I think businesses are waking up to the reality of, how do they treat it as an important business asset, the data? How do they make sure that it is secure, because they're a target? And how do they make sure that they're prepared for not just malicious hackers, but also for natural disasters? We're in a series of multiple hurricanes, and many of our own clients are dealing with that reality of being up and running after hurricane strikes. The data has to live somewhere.
Okay, so given the fact that this is not going to be the last time that this is going to happen, what's the proper roadmap for how to deal with something like this? What should Equifax have done?
Yeah, and the roadmap is straightforward across the board, which is not only be prepared beforehand, so going through simulations, as I'm sure they do, but then understanding that you have to communicate quickly, clearly, and transparently, because people are going to be very confused right off the bat. And Equifax, unfortunately, from the outside, did just about everything wrong initially, where they brought up a website that people couldn't trust, where people didn't know what had actually happened, where they gave ambiguous answers as to whether your personal data has been hacked.
They didn't disclose the first hack.
They didn't disclose it. So what we think has to happen is effective communicators, marketers, other people in the communication field, have to develop a better language for having businesses reach out to consumers and others when an incident has happened, and then make it clear, this is what has happened, this is what we are doing about it, this is how it may or may not impact you, and here's what you need to do. And businesses are losing their trust with their consumers when they fail to disclose properly or to communicate properly. It's not just the hack that ruins the trust. It's what happens after the hack that ruins the trust.
They had no backup plan.
And clearly there's a lot of fallout that's going to happen. And Lisa said this is not the last hack that's going to happen. I doubt it's the last one that will happen this week.
Just quickly, backups. Does it matter who owns the server?
Server is a big, broad term, Pim. I think it matters that you as a business have a clear understanding of where your data lives. So if you work with a third-party provider, and whether that's on-site or in the cloud, understanding who has your data and what guarantees they, or at least promises they're making to you in terms of their ability to serve you if something happens to your business.
Well, they can also find out who you are, right? They can call Norman Guardagno at the chief evangelist of Carbonite and say, hey, I want to know where my data is.
I want some evangelism.
We can let you know.
Thanks very much for being with us. We are broadcasting, of course, live from the Investor Day here in downtown Boston for Carbonite. Now let's go to our Washington, D.C. 99.1 newsroom and Nancy Lyons for world and national headlines. Nancy.
Thanks, Pim. President Trump says North Korea is on a suicide mission that will lead to its destruction. In a speech to the U.N. General Assembly this morning, Trump called out any nation that supports Pyongyang.
Now North Korea's reckless pursuit of nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles threatens the entire world with unthinkable loss of human life. It is an outrage that some nations would not only trade with such a regime, but would arm, supply, and financially support a country that imperils the world with nuclear conflict.
Trump also called Iran a rogue nation that supports terrorism. CNN is reporting U.S. investigators wiretapped former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort under secret court orders before and after the 2016 election. House Intelligence Committee member Eric Swalwell says he's encouraged by that news.
Manafort is important because he presided over a time of intense activity by the Russians. That's the summer of 2016. You know, that's when the June 9th meeting took place. That's when the convention occurred, when the platform change happened, and the Republican Party that was pro Russia. That's when Carter Page traveled over to Moscow with permission of the campaign. And, of course, that's when Roger Stone intimated that John Podesta was going to spend his time in the barrel.
Today, Senate investigators canceled their plans to question longtime Trump associate Michael Cohen. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nancy Lyons.